Jones and his wife visited us. We went out to lunch together afterwards, and said, you know, I really appreciate the music in your church. He said, we graduated from Bob Jones, and he said, a lot of people are turning away from the old hymns and the arrangement of them. And he said, the ones that were written out of life's experiences, heartaches, and burdens. He said, I really appreciate that. He said, you have a song program here equal to a church much larger. And we appreciate all that Miriam does to work with us and make us sound better than we are. Thanks, Miriam. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 28. Job, chapter 28, beginning in verse 7. I'm going to speak to you tonight on the subject, and it is not with me. Job, chapter 28, beginning in verse 7, Job says, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. Where are you looking for satisfaction? In Streams in the Desert, August 26, Margaret Batone wrote, I remember a summer in which I said, it is the ocean I need. So I went to the ocean, but it seemed to say, it is not in me. The ocean did not do for me what I thought it could. Then I said, the mountains will rest me, and so I went to the mountains. When I awoke in the morning, there stood the grand mountain that I had wanted so much to see, but the mountain seemed to say, it is not in me. It did not satisfy. What I really needed was the ocean of God's love and the high mountains of His truth within. It was wisdom that the depths said they did not contain and that could not be compared with jewels or gold or precious stones. Christ is wisdom and our deepest need. Our restlessness within can only be met by the revelation of His eternal friendship and His love for us. End of quote. Some today are seeking satisfaction in all the wrong places. Some seek it in their job, but the job says it is not in me. Some seek it in education, but when they walk off the stage with that degree, it says it is not in me. Some seek it in vast achievements about which they can boast, but they say it is not in me. Some look towards some person, and he says it is not in me. Some go for entertainment, but it says it is not in me. Some have their deep desires met and find out that it is not in me. They come to the end of their lives empty despite it all. Job reminded us that everything in life is filled with emptiness. Nothing satisfies apart from a right relationship with the Creator. In Deuteronomy 14:29, we read, Thou shalt eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. We're told there that satisfaction is in working for the Lord. And then in Deuteronomy 33:23, we read, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord. There we find satisfaction is being approved by the Lord. And again, in Psalm 17:15, we read, As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We find there that satisfaction is in Christ's likeness. And again, in Psalm 63:5, we read, My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And there we find that satisfaction is in living a life that praises the Lord. Again, in Psalm 65:4, we read, We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And there we find that satisfaction is in pleasing the Lord. And then in Psalm 05, verse 40, we read, "And he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven." And there we find that satisfaction is gratefully accepting God's provision. And then we find in Proverbs 14:14, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way, and a good man shall be satisfied apart from himself." There we find that satisfaction comes from dealing with our sins quickly. And then we're told in Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." And there we're told that satisfaction is living with respect for the Creator. And then again in Jeremiah 31:14, "And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord." And there we find that satisfaction comes from meditating on the goodness of God. Contentment and satisfaction are synonyms in the Bible. Paul wrote this to the church at Philippi. He said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content," therewith to be satisfied. The Greek word is autarkes, which means sufficient, enough to meet the need without any additional aid or support, completely satisfied. Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:8, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." There the Greek word is similar, archeo, satisfied, to be strong and sufficient for the situation. Hebrews 13:5 contrasts covetousness with contentment, using the word archeo. Now, most people are dissatisfied. Even Christians, a lot of Christians are dissatisfied. They don't like this, they don't like that, they don't like the other. One fellow told me the other day, he said, "I know a fellow that's been around to 13 churches and he hasn't found the perfect one yet." Billy Graham said, "If you're looking for the perfect church, when you find it, don't join it." Dissatisfaction is the cause of much sin. Have you ever noticed the television commercials? They use dissatisfaction to cause people to want more than they have. The advertisements make you dissatisfied with your car. The advertisements make you dissatisfied with your house. Some of the advertisements make you dissatisfied with your spouse. And some of the advertisements make you dissatisfied with your job, make you dissatisfied with your clothes, make you dissatisfied with your nose. I mean, Pat Boone's daughter made popular the song, "You Light Up My Life," and now she's a spokesperson for Life Lift or something, where you do all these changes. And, you know, you can only delay death. You can't eliminate it. And why would I spend a lot of money to look better to die? Have you ever wondered about that? A dissatisfied person, by the way, will do anything to get what he wants. You got to be careful of dissatisfied people because they are extremely dangerous to themselves. They're dangerous to other people. They're dangerous to the church. So this dissatisfied person, when he what he wants does not satisfy him, and so he does more evil, continuing to seek satisfaction. Every time you seek satisfaction outside of the Lord, you spend your whole life seeking something you can never achieve. We get the new car, and the car says, "It is not with me." We get that coveted job where we get all the benefits and everything, and we're promoted, and that job said, "It is not with me." We get fed up with our marriage, and so we divorce the person we're married to. We find this good looker, we marry that person, and that new relationship says, "It is not with me." We get out of that old job and we get the new one that we think would solve all of our problems, and we find out that speaks to us and says, "It is not with me." Because real satisfaction is only found in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. So what we need to do is we need to take deep draughts from the fountain of God's love. We need to rest securely in the great mountains of His power. And we need to walk the straight paths of His endless grace. I want you to turn now to a New Testament passage, the book of Matthew, and chapter 14. And I want to read something there that I want to give us the outline tonight on satisfaction. Where do we find satisfaction? Matthew 14, beginning in verse 15. Matthew 14, verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." Now he's talking about between 15 and 20,000 people here. He said, "You 12 handle this." Okay? And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And if you read the parallel accounts of the other Gospels, it says this, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many?" And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, satisfied. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So we're looking at probably 15,000 people, roughly, that were fed here. So here's the outline that will help us a little bit on where to find satisfaction. Number one, let's look at our impossible situation. Our impossible situations. And let's go back to the passage and see how impossible this situation was. First of all, verse 15 refers to the desert place. Jesus and his disciples were in a desert place. And we often find ourselves in situations which seem as impoverished to us as if we were in a desert place. We have no obvious available resources. We are surrounded by those with needs making demands upon us. Now, I don't know about you, but I have often felt spiritually parched by the experiences of life. So he says the desert place. Then he says the time is now past, verse 15. So it was late in the day, and the opportunities at that point were restricted. And I'm sure you have felt this way. Often you've felt like time has run out on your opportunities. There's nothing for me to do. Everything is all over. I can't do anything. And then there's the multitude mentioned in verse 15. There was a crowd of people, each of them with a series of unmet needs. And normal available resources were obviously not sufficient. I don't know about you, but I have often felt overwhelmed by demands placed on my life beyond my ability to meet and to satisfy the needs of others. I'm sure you too have had times in your life when you felt you were in a parched land, out of resources, running out of time, facing overwhelming demands. If you haven't, wait a while, you will. So, the impossible situation. Number two, look at our insufficient resources. Our insufficient resources. I'm a lot like you. When a need arises and a situation overwhelms me, I start looking for the normal, practical, human solutions, don't you? And there's nothing wrong with responsibly seeking available solutions to situations that arise in your life. That's not wrong. However, you occasionally come across a situation which exceeds your natural capability and your limited human resources. And you and I have faced that in our life. My wife and I have faced that many times. There have been times when we sat down and wondered where food was coming from. There have been times when we saw a bill and said, "How are we going to pay that?" I've seen my daughter and son both face such circumstances in their life. Our church right here has faced overwhelming situations many times. We have even been told by others, "We're going to close you down." But what do we do? Well, let's not jump ahead. Let's keep going here. He mentions the crowd, calls them the multitude in verse 19. And then he says in verse 21, 5,000 men beside the women and the children. What about the resources? The disciples said, "Well, look, there's a lad here, and we talked to him, and he's willing to let us borrow his lunch, and we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes." Well, obviously, the human resources by themselves were no match for the demands of the needs of the multitude. 5 loaves and 2 fishes are not sufficient to satisfy the needs of 15 to 20,000 people. And I have faced situations, as I'm sure you have, in which you have actually said these words, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I don't know how I'm going to be able to carry this responsibility. I don't know how I'm going to face and fight this battle. Well, Jesus told his disciples in the midst of this situation, the disciples, and I don't say this in the passage, this is my addendum, is it? Disciples were probably chattering over here in the corner saying, we better go tell him. It's getting pretty late. I don't think he's paying attention. We got to tell him. We got all these people here. There's no place for them to eat. They've got to go somewhere and get something to eat. We better go tell him this. So they go and they say to Jesus, you know, you better send the multitude away because there's no food here. And they can go into the villages and they can buy themselves victuals. And Jesus said, give ye them to eat. Now, the last thing that you want to hear from God when you look at your resources and you realize they're totally insufficient, the very last thing that you want to hear from Him is, you do this. You handle this. What you'd like to see is the wave of the wand and the bread coming down from heaven, right? Well, in one of the parallel accounts, John 6, 1 and following, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? We can almost sense the frustration of the disciples. He told us to feed them. How are we going to do this with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? So they were faced with a command from the Savior, but they recognized that what was available could not by itself allow them to meet the need and obey the command. How are we going to obey Him when our resources are insufficient? Well, you know, there have been a lot of times in my life when I knew what the will of God was, but realize the impossibility of carrying out His will by myself. I'm sure you've been there too. Well, now we come down close to the end of the message here and we ask ourselves, when the situation is impossible and when the available resources are insufficient, what does one do? And this brings us to the third point in the message, the sufficient Savior. Everything we try in order to satisfy our needs cries out to us, it is not in me. So what the disciples found was the situation was such that they had no sufficiency for it. They were anxious, certainly, but they knew they could not feed the thousands with the 5 loaves and the few fishes. So Jesus confronted them with this. He said, it seems like they never got the point, like you and I. We don't get the point either. He said, bring them hither to me. He said, you guys are missing the whole... Now, he didn't say this. Once this is my addendum again. He says, you guys are missing the whole point. You think that I believe you can meet the needs with your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I know you can't. You think that I know that these people need to go into town and buy victuals for themselves. But let me tell you what you need to do. Here's the point you need to get. So he told them this. Bring them hither to me. The them refers to the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. So I hope you see it here. When the situation is impossible and your human resources are insufficient, you turn what resources you have over to the Son of God. That's the solution. We've done that here many times in this church. Many times we've looked at the balance in the checkbook and said, you know, we can't make it. We don't know where the money's going to come from. We're just going to have to let the Lord work. You know, the problem is we don't believe it's that simple. I overlook that simple solution in my life pretty often. And I assume that you may have done the same. It's pretty embarrassing when God finally says, look, you're missing the point. I know that you're limited. Hello, I created the universe. I know that you are limited. So why don't you just simply rest in me and let me take what you have and use it the way I want to use it. As a church, we've faced impossible situations many times with human resources totally insufficient to meet the needs. And then we've heard him say, bring them here to me. Let me have your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes. It works. It works for me personally. It works for you personally. It certainly has worked for our church corporately. Now notice some things in this passage. First of all, Jesus operates with unlimited authority. Matthew 14:19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Yeah, they're without food, they're probably without water, and he commands them to sit down on the grass. And the multitude might be wondering, but we should probably be looking for something to eat. You know, you and I must respect his authority if we would enjoy his blessing. I get so sick and tired of hearing rebels talking about how God is blessing their lives. Brother Tim DeLello and I were talking this week, and he was telling me about somebody that he met who left our church and had nothing good to say about us. And he said, you know what I told him? And I said, you certainly are bold, Tim, so I'm not sure what you said. But he said, I looked him in the eye and I said, you know what your problem is? You need to get your heart right and go sit down with that pastor and tell him to forgive you for your sins. I said, you told him that? He said, yeah, I told him that. Jesus operates with unlimited authority, and we've got to respect his authority if we would enjoy his blessing. And then secondly, notice this too in the passage. Jesus uses what we have. We always think we've got to have more. I need to have more so I can do more. I've often felt that way. But he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So when I give what I have to him, it doesn't matter what I have in relationship to what the situation is. Doesn't matter. And yet, what am I concerned with? I'm concerned with what I have in relationship to the situation. That's my concern. And yet, we learn this principle, I hope. When I give what I have to him, it doesn't matter what I have in relationship to that situation. Because now he takes it. He takes my 5 loaves and my 2 fishes, and he says, relax, I'll give these back to you, and you can distribute them for me. And then thirdly, notice this. Jesus blesses the resources we give him. Number one is Jesus operates with unlimited authority, Matthew 14:19. And then Jesus, number two, uses what we have. And then number three, Jesus blesses the resources we give him. When I was working on this sermon, I said, why am I more concerned about what people think than what Jesus blesses? No. Okay. You know, you have to examine yourself all the time. The reason you do is because you're in the process of spiritual deterioration, and you've got to constantly be working on that. So looking up to heaven, we're told, he blessed and broke the loaves. And he set the pattern of seeking the Father's will in tough situations. I hope you'll pray for me tomorrow. I intend to spend the entire day not saving lives, not riding in the back of the ambulance, not checking drug bags. I intend to spend the entire day tomorrow wandering through the Adirondacks, finding streams by which to pray and read the Bible. That's what I want to do all day tomorrow. Number four, looking at this passage here. Number four, Jesus uses us to meet our needs and the needs of others. Jesus uses us to meet our needs and the needs of others. So he blessed the resources, and then he broke the resources, and then he gave it to the disciples. You know, late in my ministry, I learned the lesson I wish I had learned the first year. What I have, I must voluntarily give to Jesus, and when he touches it and returns it to me, it has always increased in its sufficiency. Let me repeat that. What I have, I must voluntarily give to Jesus, and when he touches it and returns it to me, it has increased in its sufficiency. Boy, what a powerful lesson. And I think I was probably 10, 15 years into my ministry before I learned that. You see, as a young preacher, I was blessed. I struggled with preaching. Matter of fact, I told the Lord several times I didn't want to preach, and He kept after me. And then after I surrendered to preach, I had the privilege of studying under men who were considered the best Bible teachers and preachers in the entire country, maybe the world. But still, after I had studied under some of these great, great teachers, I sensed my inadequacy. I just didn't feel like my 5 loaves and 2 fishes were sufficient. And then one day, Al Geisler, he's preached here, Al Geisler took me to lunch and he said, he did like Jesus. He asked you a question you couldn't answer without surrendering. So here was the question he asked me, why don't you just surrender what you are to the Lord? I said, boy, that's pretty profound. So I took my 5 loaves and my 2 fishes and I gave them to Jesus. And when He returned them to me, I found out they were more sufficient and that they were more likely to glorify Him. See, the question is, are you willing to give your loaves and fishes to Jesus so that He can return them to you sufficient to minister to others? That's the question. Are you willing to give your loaves and fishes to Jesus so He can return them to you sufficient to minister to others? Now, here are two words that, in closing, I want to call your attention to. You can jot these down in your notes. Write down the words, beyond satisfaction. Because the goal is not satisfaction. Satisfaction is the level we reach that increases our usefulness. Verses 20 through 21, an amazing miracle. 5,000 men, and then the women and the children, so probably 10 to 15,000, were told they did all eat and were filled. So they were all satisfied. But don't miss this. Everything that comes from the hand of Christ satisfies the needs of men. Everything that comes from the hand of Christ satisfies the needs of men. Now, the interesting thing, I ask you to write down beyond satisfaction. The interesting thing is it says there were leftovers. 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, leftovers are good. My wife's a good cook. And over the years, I've had a problem with my weight because I like to eat. And I particularly like to eat what she cooks. And sometimes some of our greatest meals have come from leftovers. Spiritually, Christ satisfies my deepest longings, and He gives me more than I need. Have you ever noticed that God, when He works in our lives, always goes beyond what we really ask? When He was talking to His people and had the prophet Malachi preaching in Malachi 3, Israel had complained about their lack. They had complained about the deficiency. They had complained about the problems and all of that. But He said, you know what your problem is? Your problem is not your problems. But we don't normally think that way. We think our problem is our problems. Our problem is what causes our problems. And so God says, your problem is not that you can't do the crops. Your problem is not that you can't have the blessings. Your problem is not that the canker is eating your crops. The problem is not that the east wind comes and burns them on the vine. That's not the problem. The problem is you're not tithing. He said, if you'll bring the tithe into the storehouse, I'll open the windows of heaven in such sufficiency that it will pour out to you more than you have room to receive. The overflow of blessing. So if you can imagine whatever you're facing in your life right now as a deficiency, and you say, you know, it's life is so dissatisfying. If you can imagine the Son of God just standing with His nail-pierced hands open and looking out at you with your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes, and you could imagine Him saying this, it is in me. Let's stand for prayer. Father, thank you that all sufficiency is in the Son of God, not in us. All sufficiency is in surrender to you, not in surrender to our desires and what we choose. All of our sufficiency is in turning over to you what we are and what we have, not in trying to gain more of what the world has. We thank you for your care for us, and we thank you that nothing ever comes into our life that doesn't attract your attention. And so we pray in this moment as the altar is open that you will help us to surrender our 5 loaves and our 2 fishes to you so that you can give them back to us and we can use them to distribute to others. We pray now for your watch care over us in Jesus' name. Amen.